throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kauf with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Thursday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. It is basketball playoff time back in Oklahoma. Regional tournaments, Class A and Class B, all across the state today. We'll tell you what we've got coming up, the schedule for today, who needs to play well, who to watch for on Paragon TV. You know who else returns today, Jared?
Who returns today?
Tiger Woods,
oh,
y'all.
Oh, yeah, is that today?
Tiger Woods returns at Riviera in new clothes, mind you. I saw in the Pro-Am maybe a practice round on Tuesday, his average drive, 342.
Must be the new threads.
Right? Must be.
Has to be.
It was always the shoes, Mars.
Yes.
Is it the shoes? So, Tiger Woods back on.
You like the new logo? You like all
not
that?
Really.
Not really?
No, I like that old TW.
I always take my opinion on golf apparel based on my fellow golfers who golf way more than me. And so far, it's been mixed reviews on those. From my buddies and what you just said, it's been mixed.
The logo's kind of weak. I think it could have been a lot cooler. But the problem is that TW that everybody knows from the Nike stuff is pretty cool. And he doesn't want it. They asked him yesterday if he wanted it. He said no.
You know, as
it can go on.
As weak or bad as the logo is perceived, he's probably, I don't know. People are going to buy it.
People are
still going to buy it.
Only old school golf people know what this is, maybe. I don't even know if they're around anymore, but it kind of looks like a cut up version of the old Slazenger logo.
I'd have to look that one up.
Anyway, yeah. I don't Here's the deal. He's going to have a shirt and some pants on, and then come Sunday, he's going to have red.
Yes.
So, you know, red and black, move on. I just hope you get to see him on Sunday is the point. That means he played well, made the cut, and kind of moving the needle for the PGA Tour. Also, we haven't talked about this all week.
I just looked up that logo.
Yeah,
now
it's kind of that look.
Yeah.
Also, we haven't talked about this. Do you have a problem with what happened in Phoenix? A lot of people are trying to act like this is they shouldn't have the tournament anymore.
Oh, I don't know about that.
So we can talk about that. A little shot at Possum right off the get-go. Daytona 500 qualifying.
Careful. This one's going to strike
Ford
a nerve.
Ford sweeps the front row.
Careful.
Our friends at Barber Dyson Ford.
Don't be talking about someone's
Ford sweeps
truck. So funny what little things will strike a nerve with
Logano
people.
Logano and McDowell. In the front row of Daytona 500 qualifying.
Will you watch? Do you watch the Daytona?
Yeah.
Do you?
I like the Daytona 500.
I don't mind it. Looks like it might be rainy.
Well, then it may be watching it on Monday.
Yeah. A lot of delays.
It's awful weird to have the biggest thing the very first thing on
it
the
is.
Schedule. But they tie it in with the Super Bowl of racing, the Super Bowl of NASCAR a week after the game and all that.
Well, I've watched just a handful of the entire race from start to finish.
And yeah, I ain't doing that.
I've done it before, and one time I did, I was completely enamored with it because I had some money on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, I just picked a driver. My brother-in-law got me into it. It was, you know, what are those? FanDuel or it was something. So I was, like, really interested. And then he was watching it with me, and he's more of a race fan than me, and he was kind of educating me as we went along.
Mm-hmm. The draft.
All that stuff, you know. But, yeah, it was a really pretty day watching the garage.
You know that one of
some cold pops. It was
one
a fun
of the
night, fun day.
Guy that does a little plumbing around here. He used to have a party.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. A good feast. for the Daytona 500.
Had a neighbor who loved it so much. He would watch in his garage, but he had a speaker system in his garage.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that they just stopped
talking.
That'd be
pretty cool.
I mean, and you could hear him from a block away. You could hear,
now that would be pretty cool.
I was like, oh, Justin's watching the race again. He's watching the race.
Speaking of Possum, his dad, JL, who's no longer with us, he was such a Dale Earnhardt fan.
Mm-hmm.
He painted his golf cart.
Oh, wow.
Black and with the three.
That's cool. Now that's cool.
Yeah. JL had the Dale Earnhardt golf cart.
I like that. I like that a lot. That is cool.
Yeah, that was
cool. We all know where we were during that Daytona, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll remember that fateful day.
Yeah, that was
I'll watch. I mean, what else is on?
Well, Tiger.
Well, there's that, yeah.
Some crappy college basketball probably be on.
Yeah. I have to check Iowa's schedule. I've turned into an Iowa fan on Sunday afternoons, apparently.
I just knew you were going to tell me how OU won their ninth straight in the Big 12.
It's a good win last night.
Yeah.
12-1 in the
league. Got news for you. Beating Baylor isn't as cool anymore.
Well, not without Mel or
without Mulkey down there.
Mulkey down there. Still, feels good.
All right, we got hoops today. Paragon TV will tell you where, when, who. Look forward to that. How they might play.
Why?
You know one of the coolest parts of the Super Bowl? And it's starting to happen. Obviously, NFL Films is all over that thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Every inch of the field probably has some sort of microphone capabilities.
I'd be afraid to let one rip because a microphone's going to catch it.
Text line, AJ, not a NASCAR fan.
Can I read it out loud?
No, probably not. I mean, you can, but.
Oh, wow. Well. Okay.
Not watching.
Well, speaking of wieners, I might cook some on Sunday and watch
Don't
the
put
race.
It in a meat grinder.
Think of you, AJ.
It's not that bad. The wieners are better not ground up.
Just turn the channel. I mean, you don't need to do that.
No, seriously. Hot dogs are better. The wieners are better not ground up.
Yes.
Not ground.
I think we're supposed to have a pretty day Sunday.
Ground wiener doesn't sound very good.
It does not.
Maybe put it in some beans or some chili.
There you go.
Anyhow, so you're starting to hear some of the sound that's coming out of the Super Bowl. And there are a couple of interesting things that I kind of came across over the last day or two that I think we can talk about. Also, did the Niners scapegoat poor Steve Wilks yesterday?
If we're firing every defensive coordinator that's lost to Mahomes, and we've got a lot of vacancies out
there.
You
know, I think it is interesting because going into the game, you know, the Niners, you see it felt like their defense was more reputation than what they'd put on the field in the playoffs, at least. You know, Green Bay got to them. Detroit obviously carved them up in the first half. But I thought they played pretty well against Mahomes on Sunday. But Steve Wilks out as the defense coordinator, basically probably because Kyle Shanahan didn't want to fire himself at the end of the day.
Yeah.
225-9698 is the phone or the text line. That is 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things or whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime right in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, stay in touch with the show a couple of ways. Log on to KADSAM.com or download the app. The app has it all. Radio, Penny News. Check out. Go pick up a free copy of the Penny News right now. It's your favorite local news stop, thepennynews.com. Big Elk and Paragon TV. Paragon TV back on the air today. Class A and B regional action all over western Oklahoma, even into kind of central Oklahoma. And then, of course, Skinny on Sports podcast available everywhere. How are you today, Jared?
I'm good. Hey, reminder, I got to leave in like 30 minutes.
For what?
I got a dentist appointment at 10.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, sorry.
Dentist appointment. Oh, good. That way I can just go off about Tiger and Daytona 500.
I mean, don't let me stop you. Yeah, I've never.
All right, so sounds from the Super Bowl are starting to filter out. There's a couple of things that really kind of caught my eye. One, did you see Mahomes' reaction to Dre Greenlaw?
I saw I saw his reaction when
to the
49ers
coin toss. Yeah.
Chose to take the ball, not the
did
Greenlaw.
See, so he's standing there and he, you know, obviously the Niners, I mean, poor Fred Warner was just started screaming no, and then they show him on the bench and he's like almost inconsolable losing that guy the way they did. Mahomes though standing there I don't think it was Andy Reid, if I remember right. But it was almost chilling and almost maybe lets you take a peek into what it takes mentally to reach that level that he is. Because the very first thing he said was, 57's hurt. Like almost talking to the coordinator. Everybody, 57's hurt. Alert, alert, alert. We can take advantage of that spot now because 57 is hurt.
Right.
Just stone cold killer. You know, and there wasn't like, oh man, that's terrible. It's immediately like, yeah. everyone watching, everyone seeing what's happening here. 57 is down. 57 is hurt. Now we have a spot where we can take advantage.
Yeah.
And it's not anything about him as a person. I'm sure he's compassionate toward the injury because I think in football more than any other sport, those guys have that sense of finality because I think they all know every single snap could be the last one they'll ever play.
Right.
And so I do think they have that compassion as human beings for the other guy. But as far as winning that game and being a competitor on that field, it shows you. I think that may even show you maybe what separates him from anybody else that's playing right now. What separated Brady from anybody else is not only that killer. I mean, everybody always wants to talk about having that dog or having that whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But maybe that even separates him to another level of competitiveness. I'm not faulting him at all. I just think it's a really interesting peek into his psyche as a competitor that the very first thing when he sees it happen, he's going, everybody, yeah. Alert.
And by doing that, because there's going to be a delay in any game when there's an injury like that and they have to bring the cart out and all that stuff, he has to try to stay locked in during that downtime. So that's part of it too, to staying locked in mentally and competing that or having that competitive edge. Yeah, but let's face it, every Chiefs fan thought that too when they saw him go down. They thought, oh, there's an opportunity there. Oh. You know,
I mean,
the other day I was watching a basketball game. It was Tech in Kansas, and I think a Kansas player twisted up an ankle, stayed on the court. And my first thought was, just because I don't like Kansas, was I'd attack that guy. I'd go right at him right now. And then the angel popped on my shoulder and said, dude, feel sorry for the guy. Come on. But the competitive thing, you know.
Who cares? No, I don't. I mean,
yeah, I know what you mean.
How many times do you say when somebody picks up a third foul, go right at him? Canute ought to go right at him and get that player.
Oh, well, yeah.
It's the same as fouls as an injury to me. I mean, that's just part of the game.
Yeah.
I mean, it just is. The shocking nature of how it happened, I think, might bother people. Because, I mean, the guy was just running on the – it's like he slipped on the paint and it tore his Achilles. You know, I mean, it was such a weird way for that to happen. And so I think maybe people, if it was in the run of play, you know, anybody that would have a problem with that, maybe if it's in the run of play, they wouldn't. But because it was just a guy going onto the field, you're thinking, golly, have a little heart.
But it's
okay to me that Mahomes didn't, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And for him to notice it. I mean, with everything going around, I mean, just you talked about locked in. I mean, just so mentally aware of everything that's happening to be able to see that. And it goes back to the John Candy thing with Montana.
Well, yeah.
How mentally aware everyone is to see that.
Yeah. Yeah, if he had said it, and his choice of words were fine. I'm assuming he didn't say stuff like, okay, we got him out. He's out of the game.
No, he just said 57's hurt. 57's down.
Yeah.
You know, like just basically like you'd hear him say, like, alert, alert, if somebody's going to be blitzing on a play at the line of scrimmage. Just everybody, like he was the first one, like, hey, everybody seeing this?
An offense coordinator and him himself.
Make sure Andy almost make sure Andy knows.
Yeah.
Since he's going to call plays, hey, 57.
Right.
Maybe they had you know, maybe their package. They, you know, Greenlaw is a fantastic player, as is Warner, and that duo is in my mind the best linebacker duo there is in the NFL going. And so to take that out, I mean, I think it was just interesting to me that's just the reaction was immediate. Hey, he's down. Here we go.
Yeah.
We can. This is now a spot that if you didn't think so before, we can now think so. It is a chance to to kind of take advantage of. The other thing, and you saw the way he reacted to Warner wanting the ball, and then you go that even goes further along to where there's multiple Chiefs talking about, I can't believe they took the ball. Let them have it. Great. We got what we wanted, which clearly goes to the idea, and it supports what we've heard since the game has been over, that the Chiefs absolutely had a plan for overtime.
Yeah.
And studied a plan and went over a plan as a team, and they knew what they were doing. They knew what they wanted to do in the event an overtime happened in the Super Bowl. And then you go to the other side and you hear Kyle Juszczyk going, wait a minute, they get the ball even if we score a touchdown? I don't care what. Maybe Kyle Shanahan did know the rule. But he obviously did not get that across to his team. Kyle Juszczyk went to, like, Harvard, folks. So it's not – you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a guy that one would assume is pretty cerebral. And he's heard on the mic going, wait a minute. They get the ball even if we score a touchdown? Like, huh?
They've talked about it on these airwaves about Shanahan post-game presser. Just they kind of really overanalyze what he said. And there's people convinced he did not know the rule. Like, you know, my first reaction was he took the ball to make a point to go and score first, preferably a touchdown, and give his defense rest and all this stuff. But then the way he said things in the post-game press conference immediately after the game, it kind of told you he didn't know the rule.
See, when he first says, I didn't want to give the ball back to Patrick, in my mind that meant right then, because the Chiefs have just went on the drive, you know, mm-hmm. the two-minute drive, and he wanted to give his defense a little bit more time to rest. But then you start to hear the players going, well, we didn't really talk about it. Juszczyk literally saying, what? They get the ball? It makes you wonder if, you know, and Shanahan has handled this in a way to where, man, it doesn't look very good for him. And there's ways where I think he could have kind of said, you know, things happen, we didn't make plays, and avoided. But now he's backed himself and painted himself into a corner, and he's tried to use the, oh, no, I mean, we wanted the ball third defense, meaning if they did the same thing, then they would have the first possession of sudden death. He's tried to defend it that way. That really hasn't come across very well anyway, especially because now you hear the Chiefs, who had such a plan that they were going for two to end the game. There wasn't going to be a third.
Right.
there's no top of the second inning. The Chiefs aren't going to allow it. Like they went into such in-depth planning throughout the playoffs for this situation that they had already literally drawn up a play, a two-point play just for overtime. Not even the other play. In case they need another two-point play.
How awesome would that have been?
To come down to a two-point conversion?
For the win.
Oh, it would have been amazing.
For one play for the Super Bowl
for either team.
That'd be awesome.
And see, what's crazy is, I mean, you get it from a strategic standpoint, no matter who it is. Because with the way, and especially in that game, when you think about how good the kickers were, you know, you kick one in the end zone, all the other team really has to get is what, 35 yards? Because they get it at the 25.
Yeah.
25 yards gets you to the 50. So that's just, I mean, I'm not so sure that, I mean, Moody, those two 50-plus yarders he made were hitting the net over halfway. I mean, I don't know that they try a 70-yard field goal.
No.
or even what would it be, 50, 67 yarder, I mean, if they only get it to the midfield stripe?
Is indoors.
I don't know
zero
that they
wind,
that would have taken a huge amount of intestinal fortitude to try that with Mahomes then needing to get a first down and kicking a long field goal. But point being, you understand it from the San Francisco or the Chiefs side. If they have to score a touchdown, say the Niners scored one, kick the extra point, then they, you know, it comes down to A, not giving the Niners a chance to kick a field goal the next time they have the ball to win the Super Bowl, and B, oh yeah, giving Patrick Mahomes the ball in his hands to decide it by going for two. That makes perfect sense to me. And then on the other side, if you're the Niners, not letting Patrick Mahomes have a chance to kick a field goal to win, say they took it second, kicked off, that makes perfect sense to me too. Even though it's Brock Purdy, even though it's your offense, the last thing you're not letting Patrick Mahomes decide anything, which goes back into the point of what the hell were they doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Still,
yeah.
like the more that this goes along, the further away I get from what they did being right. I didn't think it was right in the moment. I'm going, what are they doing? This is now like college. It's the same. It's not the same rules as far as where the ball goes and all that, but it's the same strategy now. And in a perfect – now, if it would have been like a horrible day and raining and windy or snowing, maybe you decide, okay, we'll kick – try to force some field position with a stop, and then now all we have to do is get a field goal. Maybe.
Yeah.
Before. I'm talking about before. Now with the new rule, that's absolutely what you do. Plus, even if you give up a touchdown, then you know we got four downs to get 10 yards all the way down the field. So essentially what they did was they gave Brock Purdy – three downs to get 10 yards, and they get Patrick Mahomes four downs to get 10 yards. To me, that's backwards. Do you think Andy Reid goes for it, fourth and one on his own 34? Like they did on the first set of downs, if the Niners would have kicked first.
I think he would have.
Does he put the game on the line right there?
I think he would have.
He might have.
Because he's going to say, you know what I got that you guys don't?
Mahomes.
That's
true. But at least there's a doubt.
And Kelsey.
But at least there's a doubt about it. By them having the ball second, there was no choice. They had to go for
it. Yeah, right.
So I think that sound is always super interesting to kind of hear in the moment what we all talk about for a couple of days, and then boom, it comes out on like Wednesday, and it either kind of validates what you think or makes you think about, that's what they were really thinking.
Yeah.
Last thing on the Super Bowl, and then we'll start talking about the draft. Why is everyone so hell-bent on defending Travis Kelce?
And the outburst on the sideline?
Yeah. Why is everybody so intent on defending him? Why
can
nobody just say it was a bad look?
Yeah. No, I don't know. I've never defended it.
And stop
it.
There.
Yeah.
Stop it. It was a bad look. You know, lots of what you're hearing is it's a bad look, but it's in the heat of – just say it's in a bad look.
Right.
That's all you have to say. It's not some sort of shot. And no one thinks he should have not played the rest of the game. Now, if he'd have shoved him to the ground, he'd jumped on him and started punching him, well, yeah. But with what happened, just say, hey, it was a horrible look. You can't do that.
Correct.
To the coach. You have to have more respect than that. And I got to give kudos to his brother, Jason. Because his brother kind of held his feet to the fire on their podcast. You could tell that Travis was trying to brush it away, kind of like, And he kept on saying, no, bro. You know you shouldn't have done it. And finally, he kind of did say, yeah, I would, you know, and then kind of laughed it off.
Right.
But Jason Kelce was okay with telling him he was wrong. Why can't everybody knows that's wrong.
I think it's okay to make a mistake because it kind of shows that he is human. You know, he's been perceived as this squeaky clean guy, dating Taylor Swift, all this stuff. But it's okay to have slip-ups, and it's okay to say this guy messed up. Listen, kids, don't do that. You know,
right.
But by defending it, it's a dangerous precedent to set because, I mean, what if today at, you know, at basketball games, things aren't going your team's way and a player gets in your own coach's face like that? That's not a good look. And what are you going to do, defend it? No, you don't do that. You're supposed to have a little bit more respect for your coach.
There's very few things. I mean, there's kind of always another side to it, right? To a lot of the things that happen in games. This is one of those where I feel like everybody should have this. Everybody should be on the same side. I mean, it was wrong to do.
It was okay. Yeah. And it's okay to say
just say it's wrong. I mean, and then that can be it. Man, that was wrong. You shouldn't have done that. That you don't have to qualify it with anything.
Right.
Either negative or positive.
Yeah, and it made for a great meme, I'll tell you that. There's everyone just putting their own spin on it. But then what? The game wasn't even over. I kid you not. The game wasn't over. I checked Facebook, and somebody had turned it into some inspirational thing. Like, look, he's just in the heat of them. I'm like, no, he's wrong. And again, you're right. It's okay to be wrong, and it's okay to admit that you're wrong. What he did was wrong.
It was. And just stop there.
Exactly.
He's not a kid. That's a great point by AJ on the text line. He's not a kid. He's a grown man. He messed up.
Yes.
It's okay to say it and then just move on. You don't have to come out. You don't even have to say, man, that was wrong. He ought to have to do this.
I think what I'm saying.
Just simply, it's wrong.
I don't know if AJ's disputing what I just said. What I'm saying is he is a role model. He is a grown man.
No, he's saying, why is everyone not just saying it's wrong?
Right. You're right. Yeah. That was my fear. Was great. Now we're showing these kids it's okay to do that. It's not okay to do that.
You can be in a competitor. You can have passion. You can do whatever, you know, all those great things that make people great. You can have all those things and not do that. And if you do that, those things aren't an excuse. It's just wrong.
Yeah.
And then move on.
Yeah. I was disappointed because I thought, man, I like Kelce. I do. I like Jason Kelce. And I thought, dang it, don't turn into Draymond Green. You know, don't turn into that guy that thinks you're smarter than everybody in the room and you're acting like that, acting a fool. Don't do that.
Yeah. It was a bad look. Simple as that. Okay. When we come back, talk a little high school hoops before Jared has to get his teeth fixed.
Hey, Western Oklahoma schools, listen up. How would you like to win a $5,000 interactive smart display for your school? Thanks to Video Reality, an audio-video business in Oklahoma City, you could be awarded one. Here's how. From now through February 28th, anyone can text in one time per day through the entire promotion. The winner will be announced during our live coverage on the ParagonTV.com and Cool 94's coverage of the Saturday, March 2nd Class A and B Basketball Championships. Here's how to participate. The text line number is 580-225-9697. And in the text, simply type in the one word name of the school you choose to support. We are so proud to partner with Video Reality that through their gracious gift of this promotion, some lucky school will be awarded a $5,000 interactive smart display. Remember, send a text to 580-225-9697. Type in your school's name. It can only be one word. And send it. Limit is one vote per day per phone number. Good luck. Video Reality, your audio, video, and control experts.
The Skinny on Sports.
First and last, baby!
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal. Clarifying. Jared's teeth are fine. They're just getting cleaned.
Just a cleaning.
No root canals going on.
Checkup. Nothing's. I'm okay.
He'll be fresh and clean, ready for regional basketball today.
Ready for Frito chili pie.
Frito chili pie.
Oh, that's my favorite.
Is it really?
Yeah, you don't know that? I've always talked about that.
Hmm.
Everywhere I go, I'm getting the Frito chili pie, and then I'm quietly judging you when I eat it.
Man, I would. It is playoffs. I know, you know, Western Equipment time, Arapaho would always have some pretty good eats in the old hospitality room.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Smoker would be used on a bunch of it. Yeah, I wonder if that's the case for the playoffs.
I don't know if they'll let me in with Canute stuff on, though.
Yeah, you're probably out. Frito chili pie it is.
Yeah, I thought I was getting yelled at on Saturday night.
Yeah.
Turns out they weren't yelling at me, but I usually feel it in the back of my head.
Oh, for
where
sure.
Where I sit.
Yeah. No doubt about it. All right, schedule for today. Let's start with that. Class A girls over at Arapahoe. It'll be the Lady Indians of Arapahoe Butler versus Drummond. 1 o'clock start. You can watch that one on ParagonTV.com.
It's going to be an interesting. I was just looking at Drummond's schedule. They've kind of a similar route to what Arapahoe's done, but they've taken some good teams down to the wire.
Yeah,
Dover's one of them. Waucomas last week, another one. They lost by 3.
I think it's going to be a good game.
Yeah, I do too.
So Arapahoe and Drummond, 1 o'clock, Paragon TV. You want to go chronological order?
You do you, bro.
Let's go chronologically. At the same time in Class B girls, up at Hammond, we've got Eric and Sweetwater. So these are elimination games in the consolation bracket. Loser is playing softball, running track, whatever. So on the girls' side, Arapahoe Butler Drummond, Paragon TV, 1 o'clock. Eric and Sweetwater, that's up at Hammond. That's a 1 o'clock start. And then immediately following those games, on the boys' side, up at Hammond, you get the exact same one. Eric and Sweetwater on the boys' side at 2:30. Paragon TV. Okay? That's a regional consolation elimination game. Now, sad news. Out of our control.
Yeah.
We can't do anything about this. Cheyenne Raiden boys will play Carnegie at Carnegie 2:30. That's an NFHS only game. They will not allow us to broadcast. We submitted the form, the application, I guess you could call it, to be approved, and it was not approved because, I guess that's actually at Cyril, isn't it? I said Carnegie. They're playing Carnegie at Cyril.
Well, it is at Carnegie.
Oh, they're the same?
But, no, it's just, it's hard to explain on air. It's hard to transfer over to radio, but it's because that the Carnegie, I believe, is the sub site.
So we still can't do it even though it's at Carnegie?
Right.
What? Are you serious? This is at Cyril. It's at Carnegie. It's at Carnegie. Sorry. Yeah, at Carnegie. Cheyenne Raiden at Carnegie versus Carnegie.
Right.
So, NFHS is where that one can be seen. Sorry. I don't know what to tell you. I would love to tell you who to gripe to. You know what I mean?
Right.
I would love to tell you. I just don't know the answer. I don't know what to tell you. Your, what's it called? Your representatives? Maybe they can help later on down the line.
I'm considering that route.
Yeah, Carnegie. I got totally distracted.
I'm considering that route, but it is what it is today. We just can't do it.
Yep.
Similar to when state happens. So.
Yeah. So, Cheyenne Raiden and Carnegie, boys 2:30, elimination game in AFHS, and that goes into... Then the girls, winner's bracket, with Cheyenne and Navajo. Here's where I got confused. I wrote down the wrong opponent.
Oh, okay.
I put Cyril, even though Sentinel plays Cyril. I don't know why I did that. Cheyenne Raiden and Navajo, 6 o'clock, that's NFHS as well. It's where you can watch it. At the same time, Class A girls, Canute Waucomas, that's 6 o'clock. ParagonTV.com will have that one. You got the boys game first at 2:30. Over at Arapahoe, Canute versus Waucomas on the boys' side. That's an elimination game. Let's see. We said Eric and Sweetwater, elimination game. Girls' winners' games, Hammond and Granite, Paragon TV from Hammond at 6 o'clock. Leedy and Boise City from Leedy at 6 o'clock. Those are the girls. And then the boys, Arapahoe Butler Drummond from Arapahoe at 7:30, Paragon TV. Then you got Hammond and Granite, 7:30 from Hammond. Leedy and Felt Yarborough, 7:30 from Leedy. So elimination games today, Arapahoe Butler girls and Drummond at 1, Eric and Sweetwater girls at 1, then on the boys' side, Cheyenne Raiden, Carnegie, Canute, Waucomas, Eric and Sweetwater. Those are the elimination games. Everything else in the evening, winner's bracket to move on. All right, you've seen these teams. Who needs to play well to win? Who maybe is fighting a little bit of an uphill matchup going into the day
today? I think Cheyenne's going to play, girls are going to play really well to beat Navajo. It's like these two teams were kind of the hottest teams coming into this, to these playoffs. So, but Navajo, maybe a little bit more upperclassmen with them, I'm guessing, because of just Cheyenne playing, I believe, like four freshmen. So I think Cheyenne's going to play super well to win that game. And I think they can. I really do. It's been one of my games I've circled since that one is came to be on Saturday. So that one for me is going to be. And then, you know, I obviously doing my homework and knowing this team all season long. Canute girls, second time up against Wacomas. That was a tight game up in Moreland, that championship game. Wacomas is a solid team. If Canute comes out flat, they could be playing catch-up most of the time. They need to come out and punch them early and stay on them, and I think they could be okay. But and then Hammond boys. Hammond boys against Granite. That's going to be a fun one. Hammond boys, too. Young. And they have such the advantage of playing at home, so it's comfortable for a young guy playing at home. So it's just some of the teams I think need to play well today.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've kind of both – I don't know if we're selling Granite short, if that would be the right way to say this, because they're the higher-ranked team. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But having the home court advantage, I think, is a big deal there. I like that. I actually and I said this yesterday. In that Class B area, just the Leedy Regional and then Frontier playing a ranked team as well in Kremlin Hillsdale. I think one of those is going to be tight, either Leedy and Boise City or Frontier and Kremlin Hillsdale. One of those regional winners bracket games tonight is going to be a tight one. You know, Leedy, it seemed, man, they can, their girls can play to where it doesn't seem like anybody can beat them, and then they can go through lulls in games to where you're like, man, are they, what's going on here? And so being able to kind of smooth that out, I think, is a big deal for them to play more at a consistently high level instead of having maybe those peaks and valleys that we've seen in the regular season. I'm excited to see if Arapahoe has anything for Drummond on the boys' side as a top eight team.
Me too.
To see how much better. You know, you always kind of felt like Arapahoe was going to get better because of their lineage and Coach Rogers and the youth and all that. Feels like maybe they've started to turn that corner. We'll see how much they've got for number seven Drummond. Who are you watching individually? Give me somebody to watch.
Well, I'll start at home. Pretty much anybody that's a sophomore for Canute, and I mean girls and boys. The boys are sophomore heavy. The two standout players for the Canute girls are sophomores, Destiny Jackson and Kendall Schuster. I'm anxious to see how, and now they're kind of thrust into the leadership role at an early time in their careers in the playoffs. So I want to see how they respond to that. You mentioned Arapahoe boys. Deshaun Washee was on a tear on Saturday night, could not miss from outside, and that was on the road. Can he do that again at home against the top 10 team out of Drummond? Watching him, watching the, and I'm mentioning a lot of younger kids here. Freshman Trip Higgins and mm-hmm. Hammond, kind of the same idea. Kid can absolutely get hot from outside. Again, they're at home. So is that settle in? Does he settle in early and set the pace offensively for Hammond? And Leedy, it's Puffenbarger. He's the senior I'm pointing out here, but maybe didn't really go their way last year because of his injury. And now thinking, I want to lead my team back to the state tournament. It's my senior year. Does he play within himself and how he can play, or does he overdo it? So that's one I'm looking for, just to not just for tonight, but just throughout these playoffs.
Yeah, it's a really interesting mix, I think, with the teams around here, because it's either super young or like everybody knows them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's how easy is it to say, oh, yeah, look out for Henley West.
Well, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Look out for her.
Everybody's going to be watching her.
But when it gets into these playoff games, that's when players like her, and I was going to say Puffenbarger as well, that's when you start to see, you know, that cream has to rise to the top and not only get theirs, but also be able to make everybody else around them better. I mean, we said it from the beginning of the Class B girls playoffs last year, and it proved to be true. If the people around Henley can play great, nobody's beating them. And guess what? The people around Henley, you kind of,
yeah,
you take it for
it,
granted.
Yeah.
You take it for granted that she's going to play great,
right?
But if the people around here can raise their level too, then you're not going to beat them. Guess what? They did, and you didn't beat them.
Right.
You know, that's that's there. And I think Puffenbarger's a perfect example on the boys' side of that. He's kind of that this year. Mm-hmm. Because he's healthy and he can control at his size with his skill. Man, he can control a game differently than a lot of people out there. He's very he may not be as athletic, but his role is super similar to me as Rodgers at Fort Cobb.
Yeah, yeah.
Very similar roles where it's kind of everything rolling through, right, at different parts of the game, and especially when it comes down to crunch time. You know the ball, where the ball's going, and can someone help him if it need be, somebody make a shot, you know what I mean, or if can he just dominate? Both options are available.
Yeah.
It's going to be good stuff. We'll run down the schedule again. All right, Jared, you got to go.
Yeah, I got to go. All right.
All right. Jared's out of here.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.